Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus, as I decrease, you would increase in me. Lord God, I am excited that you're allowing me to go through with the whole book of Proverbs, Father, as we're starting in Proverbs 10, I ask that you would anoint, especially that you would bless, Lord God, and give me the understanding and the wherewithal to be able to correctly articulate what is being said in these scriptures, Lord God, as we look at them. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have come through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, which is wisdom. Really teaches you a lot about wisdom. In your own time, in your own studies, it does not hurt to go back over and over again to really see certain things, because the more you discover wisdom, the second time you see it, you'll see some more. The third time you see it, you'll see some more. Wisdom, there's no ending. Wisdom is everlasting, and you'll get more. But I want to explain the first 9 chapters as I did, and then I was going to stop. But then if you look at 10:1, it says the proverb of Solomon, and it puts a period there, because these are the proverb of Solomon. A lot of people think the first 9 chapters is the proverb of Solomon. No, it may mention Solomon. The first 9 chapters is wisdom. And then we see from this point on how Solomon used wisdom and wrote about wisdom and gave us a better understanding of godliness, righteousness, holiness, and how to operate. So from this point on, this is the place, this is the study guide, so to speak. This is the go-to place where you follow these things, you follow these principles, this is the applicable part of it, and you actually will see, beyond a shadow of doubt, certain things in your life change financially, health wise, relationship wise. Everything starts to change. It's most importantly, your relationship with God comes to an all time high. And I want to show you how God loved wisdom more than anything else and loves us asking for wisdom more than anything else. So I'm going to have you guys turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 9. And I wanted Zaire to kind of read that so that we could get a good understanding of that. And then I'm going to expound and listen very carefully. Okay.
Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who was able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
Amen. And so as you see, God loves wisdom and loves understanding above everything else. And wisdom spoke about that in 8 chapters, said that she was his constant delight daily. He delighted in wisdom, and they hung out. They was like one that was brought up with each other, like kins, people like cousins or family. And so God said to Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding so that he could guide this large, powerful, zealous group of people called Israel. And they were God's people. So he asked for that above everything else. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for long life. He asked for wisdom. And God honored him with everything he asked for and everything he didn't ask for, because God was so taken that he would search for wisdom and that he would search for understanding. I'm telling you, in all thy getting, wisdom is the principal thing, but in all thy getting, you need to get that understanding. If you have that, you will have your fingertips on the pulse of God's favor. There is nothing, that he will not give to you. And the scripture even says how much he loved Solomon for it, how much he blessed him for it. He didn't just give him what he asked for. He gave him what he didn't ask for, so that there was going to be none wiser or richer than him before, none like him, and there's going to be none after him. So no man is going to be as wise as Solomon. No man on the face of the earth is going to be as rich as Solomon. Nobody is going to have that. That is how much God honored him, asking for it. That says a lot. I don't see in scripture where God pours his heart out like that for anybody but Jesus. See, he poured his heart out for Jesus like that. Jesus had a job to do. See, and he sent him to do that job. Solomon took it up on himself that he would be in the right place with God. That was the heart of his daddy, King David. You couldn't beat David for repenting. When David messed up, he just cried, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry." Oh, he just lament, throw sackcloth and ashes on and put ashes on his head. And he would just lay out on the ground and just cry to God all day. Because he just hated that he messed up that much. So that was his daddy's heart. That he learned that from his daddy. So let's get to it. Proverbs 10, verse 1. Go back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. It says the proverb of Solomon. These are Solomon's proverbs. It says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." What are you saying by that? Let's dig into that. A wise son, a son that operates wisely, is the joy of his daddy. See? His father loves it. And even when he doesn't have his daddy there, his uncles or people who have raised him up, pastors and people who see what he's done, they love to see a young man operate in wisdom. See, never forget, along with wisdom comes understanding. Along with understanding comes wisdom. You can never separate the two. So when the word just says wisdom, it doesn't have to always say wisdom and understanding. Sometimes it nails it out there so that you'll understand. I'm talking about wisdom and understanding. But when you see wisdom, there is understanding. When you see understanding, there is wisdom. God's wisdom and God's understanding cannot separate from itself. See? If there's wisdom of the world, then there is no understanding. If there's understanding in the world, then there's nothing wise about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is a tell-all sign that what I'm going after is worldly and I need to back up off of it. See? Wisdom and understanding, they complement each other. They walk with each other. They are together. They are kin. You will not see the one. They're like twins. You won't see the one without the other. So when he says a wise son make it glad his father, the father is overjoyed when he sees the son make a wise decision. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Why did it go there? Why did the scripture go to a place where the foolish son is not the heaviness of his father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother? Because a lot of times, mothers don't understand the son. And sometimes where sons will make a foolish decision, the father's already, listen, he's already made 7, 8 wise decisions. See, sometimes fathers understand that in order for you to learn how to get up, you got to fall. See, mothers have a different mindset. It's got to be perfect all the time. So when she sees a simple mistake, it becomes heaviness to her. It is the heaviness to the mother. But to the father get in there like a coach and start encouraging, "Okay, son, get back up. I understand you made, come on, we got to do this like this. Let me show you how to do this. Get back on your wisdom game. Get the understanding of what you're doing and get back in there. Get back in there and get in line." Number two, it says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivered from death." You got to pay attention to the way these say things, the way these things are spoken out. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. So there's no benefit in treasures of wickedness. So do people get rich by doing wickedness? Yes. So it's not talking about that kind of profit. You see what I'm saying? You got to get the understanding of what it's saying. It's not talking about the profiting of money. It is talking about what profits your soul. It does not benefit our soul to operate in wickedness at all, at all. As a matter of fact, it kind of tears us down. It makes us go and start seeing other things. But it says, but righteousness delivered from death. What needs to be delivered from death? Your life. What needs to be delivered from death? Your soul. What needs to be delivered from death? Your mind, your heart, the very essence of who you are needs to be delivered from death. Because when Eve and Adam ate of the fruit, death came into the world and death has not left. And unfortunately, it's something that we have to deal with. Bible says in Hebrews that it is appointed unto man one time to die and then the judgment. So you die physically and you die spiritually, or you die physically and live spiritually. So how do you want to spend your eternity? See, if you want to spend your eternity with God, then you see that there is no profit in doing things wickedly. Now, we know that ain't nobody perfect, so you just got to come at some point to start examining what you're doing and saying, okay, this is not of God, and I need to get this out of my life. And when you start doing that, you, man, let me tell you, God is so grateful, and he's so gracious, and he's so wonderful. He's grateful when people just look at him and put him first. He's so humble in that, that if he sees you searching for wisdom and searching how to get out of the situation, he will deliver you. He gives you his promise that that person is going to be delivered. I know it is, because in Corinthians chapter 10, 13, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. When we fall and we mess up, he has already created an escape that if we turn into him, we can get out of it. No matter what the fall. Now, some things you can't change. You know what I mean? Some things you can't change. If you blow all your money, he's not going to deliver you back and give you riches again. You understand what I'm saying? But he'll survive you. And he'll make you live a good life without all that money. As a matter of fact, the Bible says no man can serve mammon and God. Mammon is money. And so some people start loving the money more than they love God. And then they're doing other things. He may be doing that and allowing that to happen so that he doesn't lose you because of how faithful your heart is to him. And if your heart is faithful to him, then he will be faithful to you. He is faithful to not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And every time I read these proverbs like this, I always find myself in a position where I'm just saying, thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for your righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your holiness, because it just shows me such a different way. It's so different than when I was young. I thank God for you guys. You guys are in church at your age, young men in church. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I didn't start coming to God until I was about 28 or in my 30s. You understand what I'm saying? And then it was a long road to get off the drugs, to get off the crack, to get off everything, to, you know, quit sleeping with all these women and quit doing all this stuff that I was doing so that I could even see the truth of who God was. So you got to imagine that my true serving of him didn't come until somewhere in my 40s. See, and now that I am 62, I'm not trading it. I'm not giving it up. I give up everything else, but I ain't giving it up. I will walk this earth naked and by myself in the desert before I give up God. I'm telling you, I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. And if I don't make it, it's not going to be because I did not serve him and I did not go after him. But I have his guarantee that if I do that, I will make it. See? And then in 3 it says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of righteousness to famish. What is famish? Starving. But it's not just famished from food. It's famished from everything. He's not going to suffer the soul of the righteous to be sick. He's not going to suffer the soul of the righteous to be damned. He's not going to suffer the soul of the righteous to be cursed. He's not going to suffer the soul of the righteous to hypocrisy. He's not going to suffer the soul of righteousness to eat. He's not going to suffer the soul to flourish. He's not going to suffer you. You will not be hindered in any form or fashion when you operate as a righteous person. There's never been a day. The word of God says, I've not seen the day when the righteous have been forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That is a promise from God. You don't have to ever worry about it. If a bird needs to drop you a piece of meat in the desert so you can eat, he will feed you. You don't even have to worry about it. When you belong to him, you are covered. See? But it's not covered because I've accepted him and then I'm going my way. It's a covering because I choose to do it your way. I've made a decision. And that's what this scripture is talking about when it says the righteous. Righteous means someone who's walking in the right way, not someone who just put on the robe of Jesus and, you know, saying I'm right and then going back to their way. No, he's following the ways of God. He is now righteous. He's made a righteous decision. Does that mean that he doesn't fall? No. Does that mean he doesn't mess up? No. Does it mean, but we have an advocate, his name is Jesus, that sits on the right hand of God. That's why he's there. Ask forgiveness. Tell him you're sorry. And ask him to straighten your life out again and keep on walking in righteousness. It never stops. It never stops. It never stops. And I don't think people get the picture of this. But we got to get the picture of it. He says the rest of it says, well, let me read it again. In 3, it says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casted away the substance of the wicked. So notice he said substance. See, it's not just food. He cast away the substance of the wicked. He'll get the wicked out of his house. He'll get the wicked away from his money. He'll get the wicked away from his food. He'll get the wicked away from his wife. He'll get the wicked away from his children. He'll get the wicked away from everything because the wicked has left him no choice. He will get the wicked in a hospital bed after an accident doing nothing but laying on his back and can't move but look up so that he's going to have to acknowledge God. He will do whatever he needs to, and it's God that's doing it. When you become rebellious, the devil got you right where he wants you. He ain't dealing with you anymore. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 15:23 that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He's already got his spell on you. He ain't dealing with you no more. You're already a rebellion to God. So now God is going to bring all this stuff in your life, all this havoc in your life, till you get the good sense to look up and turn to him. Because that's how he loved you. And I wish we loved our children like that. A lot of people don't love their children like that. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we need to let our children go. Not because we don't love them, so they can figure it out. A mother bird kicks the bird out of the nest, and if they fall and die, they just fall and die. But that is an example. You're going to have to learn how to fly on your own. You go as far as you can, then you start backing up. For me, that's been the hardest thing with Zaire because I've been so in his life. Now I know it's time. I got to back up. I got to, you know, let him build his own life. I got to let him. Now, that don't mean we can't be father and son. It's my son. I love him. I want to be around him. I want to see him. I want to be a father to his children. I want to be a father to his wife. I want to be all that I need to be for him. But I need to let him handle his own business. It is no longer that. When he comes to me and wants advice, oh, I got a whole lot of advice. Anybody know me, I can talk and keep going. I got a whole lot of advice. But if he ain't asking me for my advice, I need to shut the hell up. Because he got to figure it out. I have given his mother and I have given him the seed of Jesus. He has it. See, he needs to learn how to run with it. He's got to figure this out by himself. Because when I die, he don't automatically die and go to heaven with me. When I die and God, I have to deal with God in that judgment day there, I'm going to be standing there by myself. You see what I'm saying? And so will he. He's got to figure it out on his own. He got a good start, but he got to figure it out on his own. So does everybody. So the substance of the wicked is going to be cast away. God is the one that's going to cast it away. Or he would allow the enemy to come in and get rid of it. Or he would allow the canker worm to come and eat all your riches. Or he would allow your crops not to grow. Or he will bring you to a place of famine where you in the desert, you can't even get no water. See, then you got to cry out to him. And then just like Hagar and everybody else, he's got to bring a spring up in the desert so that you could drink and survive. He's able. But in this day and age, we've gotten so self-aggrandized and so stuck on the stores and the things that give us stuff. What's going to happen? You know, all this stuff is going to be gone. What's going to happen then? In your lifetime, you are going to see it where it's going to cost too much money to go to the store. What you going to do then? See, you got to be preparing to get you some land somewhere where you have. How you going to eat in the snow when you can't grow crops? Well, they already have a system. It's called a greenhouse. Where's your greenhouse? You see what I'm saying? So we got to start thinking past. Is it more than just a 401k? We got to start thinking past just financial understanding. The world has trained us to think financially to get to the place to be able to afford our lives and afford everything. Well, as long as I can make the money, I can. But God didn't never have it like that. God has never asked you for a dollar. Ever. He tells you to honor him with the substance that he increases you with. Back in the day, for people that didn't have this fiat funny money, guess what it was? Crops. Corn. You see what I'm saying? If it was animals, then the first of the fatlings of the lambs. He says honor him with the increase. And a lot of people come against that because they don't want to give up the 10%. You hear what I'm saying? But they go, I'm not going there. Back it up. I got to rewind because what I was going to say was not going to be nice. I'm telling you. So my point is this. God knows how to cast away the substance of the wicked. And for it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. This rides right into the number three. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. So the righteous man knows how to operate in a righteous way. It does not matter what the world throws at him. He knows how to operate in a righteous way. So he becometh poor and poor that dealeth with the slack hand. You got to tighten up your grip on stuff. We are coming in the day where the government and the state and everybody's trying to sue you. They're trying to take away everything you got. Just as soon as you get it, if it's not the taxes and the government, somebody's trying to get their hand in the till and take everything you got. So you cannot deal with a slack hand. You just can't let everybody in to do what they want to do. You need to start checking them I's, dotting them, crossing them T's. You need to start doing some things to make sure that you're not dealing slackly. You just can't trust everybody because they say they love Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Because I found some of the most, especially in the construction field, I found when I used to work construction when I was young in my 20s, I used to work construction. I used to have my own painting little thing. And let me tell you something. I found people who call themselves Christians will cheat you quicker than the world will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you've got to keep your eyes open so that you can see. Now, you don't want to hurt nobody if they cheat you, okay? I just want you to know you cheated me. And now I deliver you into God's hand because God know how to punish that person more than you can. But what does that say? Are you going to go back to work with them next week? No. God has another door for you. You see what I'm saying? So you can't deal with a slack hand. It says, but the hand of the diligent make it rich. What does the word diligent mean? Somebody that is on target about their father's business. You got to be diligent about all your business. You got to be able to cross them T's and dot them I's. You can't just deal with a slack hand and say, oh, well, you know, some people deal like that in faith. You know, they have the faith of God and they say, oh, well, I've been asking God for this, but if he didn't mean for me to get it, then I guess it's just not for me. And a lot of people never reach their destiny in God because they deal with a slack hand. You should be asking the question, why not me? God, I know this came from you. And if you said it, then it's got to be accomplished in my life. So what am I doing? What's going on with me that I'm in the way of getting what I need to get from you? And most of the time, that is wisdom and understanding. 99.9% out of the time, it is wisdom and understanding. Because we like to operate out of our flesh. And we like to operate out of our flesh and right. Well, I have the right to do this. And I have the right to do that. Well, now you done went back to law. See? What about the grace of the other person? See, are you willing to go the long haul with the other person? And Lord knows I'm guilty. I am guilty because at first I got to get my thing. And then when I pray about the Lord, I said, well, I delivered you, didn't I? Did I stop being God? What heaven and hell do you have to put that individual in? I have heaven and hell. Did you die on Calvary's cross and take the keys from the devil? I did that. Did you create the heart? I know the heart of every pumping blood walking individual on the face of this earth. And then I have to, okay, Lord, I understand you are God and you are sovereign. So I'm your servant. I need you to deal with this. See? If you say leave, I'll leave. If you say stay, I'll stay. If you say fight, I'll fight. If you say flee, I'll flee. Whatever it is. But I need your instruction. See, that's the place. Then you get the understanding of what's being brought to you. Now you have brought wisdom in to do what she does best. Bless. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Man, I was planning to be a lot further than this. This time is going too quick. And 5, it says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. What is the difference? You have summer where usually there's the planting. And then you have harvest where usually there's the reaping. Correct? So he that is wise goes out and gets it together, and he plants and he prepares so that he can reap a harvest. But he's a foolish man if he sleeps and miss harvest. What was the purpose of doing all that work? It is wise to prepare. It is wise to plant. It is wise to build. It is wise to get, and all that getting, get understanding. It is wise to do that. But then don't faint and fall and sleep and get caught slumbering just because you're tired and give up the fight during the time of harvest, because that's where you reap the benefits. And I'm telling you something, a lot of people in God, they don't reap the benefits because they faint. They allow the devil to come and steal their joy and they get tired and they, well, I'm not doing nothing. See? They get caught up into depression. See, Elijah got caught up into depression and went and hid in the cave. So don't tell me it don't happen to Christian people. It happens to Christian people all the time. But we don't need to get like that. We need to get up and gather, get it together, and don't sleep, because that's going to be a shame. Why is it going to be a shame? Because your plants are dying on the vine. Your gifts is dying on the vine. You hear what I'm saying? The work that you put in to receive. Let me explain it this way. Austin is in construction, and so are you with the concrete. You guys work all week putting in that money. And then you work another week putting that money. And you're not getting paid to the end of the job. You work a whole month. And then on the day it comes for you to go collect your money, you fall asleep and say, to hell with that job. That is shame. That is, it's just, you done did the work. And you're not even going to get up and stand up and go get the harvest? That don't make no sense. You done put in the labor. You was wise to do that. Now, go get your money, man. You know what I'm saying? It don't make sense any other way. So, six. This is going to be my last one, I think. Yeah. Blessings are upon the head of the just. Just meaning righteous or the right. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So, blessings are upon the head of the just. The head of the just. Look above you. Now, you can't see it in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, every blessing that you could ever ask and ever want abides above you in the spiritual realm. And God is waiting for you to get to the place where you would ask him for the blessing. I remember when Daniel prayed and he said, Lord, I prayed about this for 21 days. And God said, when you asked for it, I delivered it. But it took 21 days to fight the Prince of Persia, to get your blessing down from the spiritual realm to the physical realm where you could reap the harvest. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in praying. Your blessings is right above your head spiritually, and God wants to bless you. Everything you could ever ask for, God knows what you need already. He knows what you're going to ask already. He's sovereign. He's got it like that. He knows. Now, do you know that he's going to bless you when you stand in righteousness? He's going to do it. It says, so blessings are upon the head of the just, the right, but violence covered the mouth of the fool. They don't have no blessings. All they can do is just talk about it. They ain't got no hope. All they can do is just talk about it. All they can do is just curse about it. All they can do is fuss you out for being blessed. Call you a holy roller. Call you everything but a child of God. Because your life is an example of blessings before them. And they get jealous. I'm telling you the real. They get jealous. I done had pastors jealous. I done had sisters jealous. I done had friends jealous. I done got family jealous. People get jealous. And they start talking stuff about you. And don't even know why they're saying things about you. They ain't got no proof of what they say. They just say what they need to say because they want to say what they want to say. Because they don't like you. See? Don't even have to be a reason. See, we just got to come to the conclusion that as Christians, you're going to meet people that just don't like you. They don't have no reason. Why don't they like me? Why are you going there? They don't have to like you. They just don't like you. What does that got to do with anything? God loves you. And as long as you have the author, founder of the universe loving you, what does it matter what people like? God will send people around you that like you to encourage you. See? To bless you. And that's where we need to be. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would move sovereignly by your will and do an awesome work in our lives, Lord God. Use these things that we speak about to just bless us and keep us, to move in our lives, Lord God, and let us keep the thought, the premise, the ideal, and most importantly, in all our getting, don't just get wisdom, but get the understanding. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. People, get ready, 'cause he's coming. He's coming.
scale up the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make you kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls. I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. Right, don't delay. Stop making rich your world anyway. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie. And ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tell you what you wanna hear, but you know we give a lies. Rebuke the people's weapon, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust gon' get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
That's between you and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you see behind closed doors. And daily forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out, though you're begging again at least. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it, come upon your last breath. Repent for all your sins. Learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare. We live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all ye children. People, get ready, cause